What's good, everybody? Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, and James Harding, our frequent guest, Waiver Wire James, around the horn talking fantasy pucks and final week plus of the regular season. I know this in most leagues, guys, is the final week of championship week in fantasy playoffs. So, you know, down to the bitter end of the season. I know some leagues have already wrapped up. We've been getting a lot of questions and a lot of thank you tweets and stuff like that. So it's a rewarding time for sure if you're lifting the trophy.
Yeah, no doubt, Petey, and congratulations to everybody that either won the championship or is in the championship week right now. James, are you part of that club?
No, unfortunately, I am not. I lost early in the playoffs, I think the semifinals in the one league that I did make it in. I was helping a buddy of mine in the championship this past weekend, but he unfortunately lost because of the one game yesterday. The opponent in that matchup beat him to the waiver wire for a bunch of guys in that Detroit-Tampa Bay matchup. So, you know, I almost had a hand in the championship, but no, unfortunately myself, I'm not.
I actually got that dreaded result when you finish first in the regular season standings, get a first round bye, and then you lose in the semifinals by a slim margin. So that was one of my head-to-head leagues. Robbie and I, of course, still alive, falling behind a little bit. So we're going to need Tampa Bay to throw Andre Vasilevsky back in the lineup, hopefully, to maybe get a shutout or two the rest of the season. Of course, I know that, guys, you know, everybody's eyes were on Detroit and Tampa Bay playing a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. Some wonky results, low-scoring games. But unfortunately for fantasy managers of the best goalie in the land, Vasilevsky, kind of came up empty, and it wasn't even their fault.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to the well now, with their third string option, James. So if you are a Vasi owner at this point, I mean, it's great that he got you to the championship, but you're not getting any results from him now. So, you know, take a look at the waiver wire and good luck out there. I know you mentioned Stolarz last week, James. I don't know, you know, if we're going back to the well with that this week, but let us know if you have any other options out there.
Well, Christopher Gibson started yesterday for Tampa Bay. Curtis McElhinney started on Saturday for them. So it definitely looks like they're trying to give Vasilevsky a little bit of a break. I think they seem fairly content with wherever they finish in the top three in that division. Obviously, I think they would, you know, like that number one spot. But for sure, I mean, Andre Vasilevsky has played a lot of hockey over the last three, four seasons. So I think going into the playoffs, they want to get him, you know, as rested as they possibly can. I had Spencer Knight as the top goaltender on the waiver wire list this week. Made another start over the weekend. Looked very impressive against the Chicago Blackhawks. Now has a 1.67 goals against average on the season and 9.43 save percentage. But Steve Goldstein, who is the play-by-play announcer for the Florida Panthers on TV, actually tweeted out about 15 minutes ago now that it looks like practice squad goaltender Philip DeRosier could actually make his NHL debut tonight in net for the Panthers. He isn't practicing, and Joel Quenneville said before the season he was going to use everybody, so there is a chance that neither Spencer Knight nor Sergei Bobrovsky could start that game against Dallas tonight. So that is definitely something that you have to watch out for. Florida, of course, only plays two games this week. You know, and there are a few other goaltenders that are on the waiver wire right now. Devin Dubnyk from Colorado is a great spot start. Jake Allen has been playing pretty well for Montreal. Jeremy Swayman for Boston. I know they have some very favorable matchups against New Jersey and the New York Rangers this week. So there are definitely some guys out there on the waiver wire if you need them this week.
And we've reached the point in the season, especially, yeah, James, I mean, even if you're picking up a Spencer Knight, if he's not getting the game early in the week, then he might not get the game later in the week and you could come up empty. So you have to start looking even beyond. You have to start looking at some bad teams out there and even consider streaming those goaltenders. And I know that
Stolarz.
Well, maybe not Stolarz, maybe not that low on the totem pole, but maybe a Thomas Greiss or a Jonathan Bernier. I mean, these guys have actually put up some decent peripherals. And, you know, again, it doesn't matter if you're winning with a Buffalo guy or a Detroit guy or an LA Kings guy. Like, even in DFS the other day, we kind of, you know, got nostalgic and we picked Ryan Miller in what could be his final start of the season. And he got the win with both teams on second of a back-to-back on Saturday. So I was happy to see that as a longtime Ryan Miller fan. But, you know, you can, there's no limits. So get creative out there, send us your questions, and we'll try to pick the best option out of, you know, even some low tier options out there.
Well, if you want to get creative, and you have to at this time of year, if you want to win the championship, look at what Davey Satriano did over the weekend, the goalie master. He went out and started McElhinney. He went out and started Grice. He went out and started Gibson and picked up, I mean, really good numbers there, James, off those three guys. And so it doesn't matter necessarily who got you to this point in fantasy. It matters who's producing right now, who's starting right now. And I think it feels like counterintuitive maybe to go and get those guys in the wire and start them. But honestly, you could do a whole lot worse right now, and you need games played. As Pete said, if you've got a guy like Spencer Knight, you need him in the lineup to actually play. And then beyond that, I mean, you have to roll the dice on situations like that.
Oh, for sure. I think Thomas Grice is a fantastic guy for you to be targeting on the waiver wire right now. You look at the first off, his season numbers playing on Detroit, and Detroit is a lot better of a team this year than I think any of us anticipated that they were going to be. You take the record out the window. He's 7-15-8. Okay, fine. But he has a 2.73 goals against average and a 912 save percentage on Detroit, who we wouldn't say really is a defensive juggernaut. But, you know, since, you know, in April, he started nine games, made 10 appearances, and he had a 1.82 goals against and a 942 save percentage in 10 appearances in the month of April. And then obviously he had the 33 save shutout over the weekend in that first game, out dueling McElhinney in the game against Tampa Bay. So, you know, Grice is one of those guys, and we knew what kind of player he was when he was with the Islanders the last few seasons. And you look at, they have two games. Now, of course, they only play two games this week, and it's a back-to-back. So, you know, a guy like Grice, Friday and Saturday, the only two games that Detroit plays this week, and they are against Columbus. So it's a favorable matchup, which I don't think is anything that we would have said in Detroit's favor at the beginning of the season going against Columbus. But in Detroit's favor, it's a favorable matchup against Columbus in that back-to-back. So if you need a start and if you need a spot start for the weekend on either Friday or Saturday, go pick up Thomas Grice in one of those games against Columbus, because I think that there's a better chance that he's going to give you a win in one of those games than taking the loss.
And another thing on top of being creative is be confident and be bold sometimes, because one thing that hurt me last week, I kind of overthought it a little bit. Of course, I didn't know if and when Grubauer and Rantanen would come back into the lineup. I thought maybe, you know, if anything later in the week. Of course, they were playing the Sharks a back-to-back. So in hindsight, I should have played them just because of that opportunity. But like, I know that in one league where I'm trying to, you know, move up the ladder a little bit and competing for like second or third place, and it's a roto league, I mean, like, I had Grubauer and I had Rantanen sitting on my bench for Friday night when Grubauer had a shutout in his return and Rantanen had 3 points. So that, like, for those being my two best players all year in that league, to have them on my bench, of course, there's uncertainty. You risk losing them for the whole week if they don't end up playing, but, you know, be bold a little bit. And I think some bold acquisition for a fantasy team right now would be, you know, maybe Tyler Seguin, if he's out there in your league. Dallas has four games this week. Seguin hasn't played all year, but they might be desperate enough to throw him into the lineup, and he would play with Jamie Benn and could do some damage for your fantasy team, I think.
They need to risk it. I mean, at this point, if they want to make the postseason, Nashville looks like the team that's going to get in there now. And James, I mean, I think if you're a UC Soros owner, you have to be sitting there saying, I think I'm going to take home this championship. Clearly, the rest of the way, he is the best goaltender option. And we got a couple questions actually on Instagram about that. Grubauer was thrown in there too. Grubauer, Soros, or Rask tomorrow, who do I sit? I mean, I think you got to ride Soros the rest of the way, James, here, just based on his recent play.
Yeah, he definitely has, I would say, the most favorable. Him and Rask have the most favorable matchups tonight against, you know, Columbus and New Jersey. So as much as I trust Grubauer against San Jose too, I think that just Rask and Soros are safer because San Jose still has the ability to, you know, really put it together and upset somebody like Colorado this late in the season. But I would say you have to ride Soros. He's just been so good. And, you know, we were having an off-air discussion before we came on today about, you know, if he has a really, really big week, could he get himself and project himself up into that Vezina consideration? And while I don't think he will, when you look at his numbers, you know, expanded out over the past 2 weeks, a 2.47 goals against and a 930 save percentage with one shutout, I think you have to roll him. And you absolutely have to go Tuukka Rask in that matchup. Over his past 2 weeks, a 190 goals against and a 940 save percentage. So I think you roll Rask and Soros there. I mean, you're not making a bad choice with any of those three goaltenders. If those are your three goaltenders, I think you got a pretty good shot at taking home the championship, in my opinion. But I would roll Soros and Rask.
For me, I mean, Grubauer, if the only reason I'm sitting him is if you think that maybe Dubnyk and Johansson are going to get the starts the final week of the season, which you should consider if a team has already clinched, if guys have been banged up or, you know, out with COVID or, you know, COVID protocol or anything along those lines, if they could work in some depth players and it could work against you, you should always have that in the back of your mind. Don't be surprised to see a guy sitting for a maintenance day or just for a day of rest. Like that's what they called the Vasilevsky situation over the weekend. But yeah, the Vezina conversation is getting a little interesting because Grubauer missed that 2 weeks or so with the COVID protocol. Vasilevsky kind of not going out with a whimper, but I think he's had some spotty starts down the stretch and then, you know, getting benched for a whole weekend for rest. It's just like the perception of the award. And then on the other side, you have not only Soros, but you have Semyon Varlamov for the Islanders, with three straight shutouts. One was a loss against the Capitals, but then the other two were victories against the New York Rangers to pretty much eliminate that team, not technically, but for all intents and purposes. So really impressive finish for Varlamov as well. He's got a 930 on the season, so he could be considered for the Vezina as well.
Yeah, and they play Buffalo in a back-to-back this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So I think you have to look right there, excuse me, Monday and Tuesday. I think you have to look right there as another potential shutout for Varlamov if they decide to roll him out. But yep. I think this conversation extends to beyond the goalies and fantasy. I mean, it'd be great to see Soros win the Vezina. It'd be great to see Varlamov. I don't think it's going to happen this season, no matter what shakes out the rest of the way. I do think, though, when you look at fantasy, I mean, you have guys that are going to take some maintenance days from here to the rest of the regular season too, James. So you're going to have some star players that are going to be on the shelf. It's just one thing we said on the show last week. You've got to be checking your lineup up until 7 p.m. Otherwise, you could miss a valuable start.
Yeah, 100%. And this point in the season, you kind of have to have that, you know, I mean, we said it before, but, you know, I'll steal the line from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their championship run, you know, no risk it, no biscuit. And that's kind of what you have to have right now is you have to be willing to pull the trigger on, you know, a player that you, you know, like. If it's in a non-keeper league and you're getting down to the final few days of the season and you're, you know, you have guys on your team who aren't playing, cut them, like get rid of them. If you don't have a can't cut list, there's no reason for you to be employing those guys on your roster right now. If they're just taking up space, go out, get rid of a big name player. If you know, there's a day or two left in the season and they don't have another game or they have a matchup that's not very favorable, go get them for somebody else. At this point in the season, you kind of need, you know, some quantity over quality. You obviously need quality, but you know, you need quantity too. You need players who are going to put up stats that are going to cover the categories in your league. And so that's definitely something that you have to be willing to do is just cut bait with somebody and move on.
One guy that reached out yesterday was saying how he's got like I do in one of my leagues, I think our joint league, Robbie, we got like six Florida Panthers guys and they got only two games this week. So he said, after their first game, what do I do? You know, some of those Panthers include Spencer Knight, Alexander Barkov, Anthony Duclair, who's been red hot for them. I know he was leading your final week waiver wire list, James. So Duclair must add player in fantasy the rest of the season, even with that games limit or the limited games. But anyway, yeah, the Panthers, like if you got like six guys and you want to hold on to Barkov and you want to hold on to Duclair, maybe if it's a non-keeper league, you just cut Spencer Knight because he might not even play the last game. And you cut, you know, Mackenzie Weegar or some other fringe guys that have been valuable when they're in the lineup. But maybe, you know, you want to hold on to Sam Bennett and Duclair, but you're okay with cutting a couple of those other guys. I mean, you don't want that many guys from one team that has only two games. So I just wanted to be adamant about that one for sure concerning the Panthers.
What about a player like Igor Shesterkin this week with the Rangers? Obviously, the Islanders, you know, made quick work of them the past couple of games. I mean, do you go out there? I mean, Chesty's probably going to get these games. I mean, he's a big-time player. They got to get him reps no matter what. Do you think you'd still roll him out, James, after what you've seen from the Rangers recently?
I think that I would. You know, when you look at his underlying numbers, he's still playing to a 2.44 goals against and a 920 save percentage. He still has an over 500 record for the season. And, you know, he's actually, you know, played well in his two appearances against Boston. He is 0-2 against them this year, one start and one relief appearance, but, you know, a 1.66 goals against average against them there. And he's 3-0 so far this season against the Washington Capitals. So, you know, I would probably say that, yeah, I would definitely roll out Shesterkin against them this week just because, you know, those are their last four games and three of those games will be, you know, this week. All four of those games will be this week. They play tonight and then they have a back-to-back on Wednesday and Thursday. So he's going to get one of those games and probably Georgiev will get the other, and then Shesterkin should start the finale against Boston on Saturday. So I would roll out Shesterkin just because I think that he's going to get three of the four starts for the Rangers this week. And he's put up very good numbers against both of those teams. And I think the Rangers are still playing for something. You know, I don't think that they're, you know, just going to mail it in. I think they still want to play for something. They still, you know, want to see how they can stack up going into next season. And, you know, they want to put these guys in as many pressure situations as they can.
And the Rangers have had, you know, the Islanders clinch a playoff berth against them. They're not going to want to see either of these teams that they play the last week clinch the division against them. So I do think there's something to play for. The Rangers, we should note, though, are a little depleted. I know Trouba's injured. Kreider's still injured. Just something to keep in mind about the Rangers to not get too high on that offense down the stretch final week of the season. One really good waiver wire question involving two late season trends that maybe could carry over to next year or even just this final week of the season. Someone was asking, would you rather have Anthony Beauvillier, who's got 5 goals in his past 6 games and 6 shots on goal in each of his past 2 for the Islanders, or would you have Teuvo Teravainen, who I would prefer out of those two? Teuvo Teravainen is so strong the past 3 years in his points per game average. But what do you guys think? Because both of these teams, Carolina and the Islanders, have 4 games a pop this week.
I'm going Turbo. I think he's the better overall player, but and Bo is great too, but he just lights up the Rangers. It's like every game against the Rangers, he scores and he has a lot of shots. So there's definitely no harm, you know, in playing him if they were playing the Rangers again, but since they're not, I think I'm going to have to go with Turbo here, better exposure. And I think more complete player. And I think that's a guy, Pete, where if he plays really well down the stretch, he can keep that going into the postseason. He didn't play a lot of games this season. So I like that little storyline to conclude the regular season for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. When you look at the output this season for Beauvillier, he has 23 points on the year, but 13 of them have come against the Rangers and the Flyers. He only has 2 points combined against Buffalo and the Devils, even though he does have 24 shots on goal this season combined against those two opponents. So I would probably fade Beauvillier a little bit. And the safer bet would be Teravainen, just because of his exposure and the lineup placement. I don't think it's a really something that you can go wrong either way, but I just like and feel safer a little bit more with Teravainen at this point.
Do you guys like the futures appeal of the Carolina Hurricanes significantly more now that Teravainen is back? I mean, is this enough to put them over the top, say, in a series against Tampa Bay? Not to look too far ahead, because either of those teams is going to have their hands full playing the Florida Panthers in the first round. That's a guarantee that one of those two is going to be matched up against them. So they're not home free to get to the second round. But I just can't help but think, as a guy that liked Carolina from the beginning, I didn't even know that Teravainen was definitely going to come back. But now he's come back and he had a multi-point game in his second game out. He's playing pretty big minutes, and he had another point, a goal in his last game. So he's got 3 points in three games since coming back.
Yeah, I would probably say right now, when I look at it, the futures on Carolina, I don't know if I love it as much as I did earlier in the season. They're still a very, very good team. Their defense is playing at a high level. My one concern with them is when you start to get to, you know, the playoff games, when everybody starts to play a much more shutdown style, you have the big three on one line there. You have Aho, Cedric, Svechnikov, and Teravainen. You know, you look at the rest of the depth on that team from an offensive perspective. You know, Trocheck has had a pretty solid season. He's skating with Natchez. Stahl has really cooled off. Niederreiter has really cooled off. They're playing together on the third line. You know, I need to see a little bit more consistency from the depth scoring in close games. They certainly, I think, have that top line, and they have the defense. But, you know, when you look at how Tampa Bay is playing right now and you look at how Florida is playing right now, I kind of trust their futures a little bit more than Carolina. I have to see Carolina play some tight games, but you know, I'm not discounting them at all. I'm just feeling safer with Tampa or Carolina. Florida.
I would have said for sure yes about Carolina had the Florida Panthers, you know, really taken a nosedive after the Aaron Ekblad injury, but they've been able to stay afloat and play some really good hockey. So I'm kind of with James on that one. I think Florida almost has a better chance of having that depth scoring in the postseason when it's really a tight system versus Carolina. I like the team a lot. I just want to see if they can get a little bit more of those guys like Warren Fogle, who has been decent for them in the playoffs in the years past. And then their defense too, outside of Dougie Hamilton, I want to see a Jake Bean score consistently or Brett Pesce score consistently. So that would be my only concern there. But I think it's just because Tampa Bay is such a juggernaut. And let's not forget, they're playing without Steven Stamkos right now and Nikita Kucherov. When those guys come back, it's going to be another higher ceiling. So I would put futures right now on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then if I had to choose between Carolina or Florida, I'd be tempted to go with Florida for the trendy pick, but I think I'd go with Carolina because, you know, just have that little bit of edge. And I believe they'll get some really quality goaltending, where I think I'd have a slightly bigger question with Florida between Bob, a rookie, and Knight, and then Drieger if he's healthy.
The floor could be low for Carolina. I mean, I love the way that their system translates to the playoffs. We've seen it two straight years prior to this. So that's one thing on their side, the Brind'Amour system, the possession system. It's really good stuff. But if Mrazek is banged up heading into game one of the playoffs, you don't know how Nedeljkovic is going to fare. And if he struggles, then it could be a low floor for that team. That's one thing just to keep in mind. I think Florida's got a lot of good options in net that they could rely on, including Bobrovsky, who's been good in the playoffs at certain times before. And then, of course, Tampa Bay. And it's good to see a backup emerge for Tampa Bay just in case. It's not a storyline we ever talk about really on the show, but just in case, good to know that they could have a backup farewell in Gibson. But speaking of that division too, the fourth team is looking like it could be the Nashville Predators. And I've been looking at some of their depth guys. I know a lot of people are adding guys like Ryan Ellis and Ekholm. They always do, but even some of their forwards like Granlund, and even the other day when they won 1-0 in that big game, overtime game against Dallas, Erik Haula is playing on their third line. He's dual eligible. He's got 4 points in his past four games, and he's +5 in the span. He's covering some categories. Erik Haula is a streamer that is attractive to me, with Nashville having three games this week, all of which are of the utmost importance in holding off the Dallas Stars in the standings.
Yeah, when I was looking at the waiver wire, I saw, you know, Haula on there. And he's definitely had some appeal as of late. He has like 6 or 7 points in his last 8 games. He's been covering categories, you know, pretty well. 15 shots on goal, 5 hits, 5 blocks, +4 5 points over his past 2 weeks. So, you know, he is definitely somebody who I could stream in matchup dependent, and especially with games against Columbus this week, I would be intrigued the streaming option like him. Only 2% rostered, so he's widely available. But I think that there, you know, would be some other players that I would probably look to for him, just because look to other than him. But if you need somebody who's dual eligible in favorable matchups, I could see for tonight and maybe Wednesday against Columbus, and then getting rid of him because they do play their last couple of games against Carolina, and I would not be comfortable with him in matchups against the Hurricanes.
I agree 100%, James. You got to just play the matchup with that team. I'm still jaded by their offense and their history with offensive type players. So I would do it. I like the Hollis stream, no question. Any defenseman streamers on that team too, I like it as well. But beyond that, yeah, I think you got to be a little bit careful with that Predators team, even though I think they're going to be the team that ultimately gets the playoff spot.
Now, what do you guys think about the defenseman position? Because it's been very difficult to find any hidden gems, you know, out there to add for this week. But I do know that, like, a lot of people in their rosters, like, they have a surplus of forwards, and then they might have more games played opportunities for defense. But defense has been so barren this year. It's like, even those guys on Nashville, they're probably not available in most leagues. Is there anybody that you're targeting? Like, I know, you know, some of those Boston guys are pretty good. Like, if, you know, if Riley's out there, he's still chipping away assists. I know Grizzlick might be out there in some shallow leagues. That's a player that I look at, even though he's missed a lot of time this year, his production's been up and down. I still view him in that, not upper echelon, but middle tier at the defenseman position. Those are guys that I would be comfortable rostering. Even Grizzlick is only 35% rostered, and he's available in three of my four leagues I'm looking right now. So he might even be out there. Don't discount that.
Yeah, I mean, the two that I have leading the waiver list this week are Ekholm from Nashville, who's only 34% rostered. He's been playing very consistent as of late. You know, six shots on goal and an assist in their win on Saturday, three-game point streak. And in his past six games, he has 17 shots on goal and a +8 rating. So I really do like Ekholm on the back end. And the other guy who was leading my defenseman this week was Mikey Anderson from Los Angeles. He's skating at even strength with Drew Doughty, and he is actually leading NHL rookie defensemen in time on ice this season, averaging just over 21 minutes. He has 3 points, seven shots on goal, and is covering categories really well. Nine hits and nine blocks in his past seven games. And they, you know, play two games against Arizona and two games against Colorado this week. So obviously the Colorado matchups are a little tricky, but I think with a guy who's going to be getting that much exposure and that much time on ice, especially in favorable matchups to start the week against Arizona, I really do like Mikey Anderson there. And he is only rostered in 1% of Yahoo leagues at the moment. 44 shots on goal, 50 hits, and 63 block shots on the season. So if you need that category coverage, he's a very, very widely available option for you.
I always go with those guys, James, that can cover categories, especially in the fantasy championships, especially with ice times being a little bit wonky with the teams that have clinched. Usually the top guys are going to play a little bit sub of 15 minutes a game with that. So I like those strategies a lot. But before we wrap up here, guys, we did get some keeper questions as well, and fans asking for more dynasty content. So why don't I kick it off, Petey, with a big one. This one says, keep Fox or Pettersson? This is a blockbuster here. Which way would you go?
I go Adam Fox. I know that the Rangers have had, you know, a couple of goose eggs here down the stretch, but he's actually been named the fantasy defenseman MVP of the season by myself and Rob Reese. So, James, we'll have you weigh in here. Of course, there's some other great options out there, whether it's Cale Makar, Dougie Hamilton, of course, Victor Hedman, right up there neck and neck with Adam Fox statistically, but what Fox has done this year, emerging as the power play quarterback, the Rangers trajectory, I think a little step back this year, no doubt, for the Canucks. So, and some injury concerns as well for Pedersen. So that's a no-brainer for me, Adam Fox. And we have him in our league, Robbie, win or lose this year. He will be one of our four keepers, along with Vasilevsky, along with Alexander Barkov. And then the fourth spot will be up for discussion sometime at a later date. But there's no way we're letting any of those three guys go back into the pool.
Yeah, I have to agree there. I think that, you know, Fox to this point of the season has been probably the best, you know, fantasy defenseman. You did mention, you know, Cal Makar, who has played 14 games fewer than Adam Fox and is only, you know, 9 points behind him overall for the season and only 3 power play points behind him. But I think you have to give it to Fox at this point. And I would agree between the two of them, I would rather have the top level fantasy defenseman who can cover all of the categories versus, you know, an Elias Pettersson who is, you know, injury prone right now. And we don't really know the severity of the injury. It's kind of vague, the updates that we've been getting on him so far since he has been out. So I think it's just safer right now to trust a guy like Adam Fox, especially when he's going to be rolling out with, you know, Panarin and Zibanejad and Strome and the players that the Rangers are going to have in that top six for years to come. So, yeah, I think it's safer to trust Adam Fox right now over Elias Pettersson.
As far as a keeper question, I got Cole Caulfield scored his first NHL goal on Saturday. Montreal got a big win. They got the juices flowing a little bit again, a little bit more confidence in that group as of late that we've seen, which is good to see. With them going into the playoffs, very, very likely that they're going to finish this thing off this week. But Cole Caulfield, I mean, not having an elite center on his line, no matter where he plays, unless maybe he plays with Nick Suzuki, and Suzuki's been finishing the season strong, which is encouraging to me. If those guys could be a package deal next season, I would think there's good keeper appeal for both those players, Suzuki and Caulfield. You guys agree?
This one I'm a little bit torn on. I think typically I'd say I'd look at a player like Caulfield and love his potential, love his point ceiling, love his goal ceiling. But when you look at Montreal, I think I've got questions on the right side there. It's a bit of a logjam. So with that, I'd have to take it with a grain of salt and say I love the player. I don't love the situation. If you could promise me that Montreal is going out this offseason and getting another big-time center there to either play above Suzuki or below Suzuki, I'd be more into it. But right now, I'd have to say, you know, maybe put him back in the pool and just hope you can either get him, you know, in your draft or, you know, just wait and see approach with a player like that. And especially with Montreal, who I think is a fringe playoff team even next season.
I'd probably hold on to him in a dynasty format. If it's, you know, you need a young player who has, you know, a certain amount of service time or is under a certain age that you, you know, have to keep in a dynasty format, 100%. I'm jumping on a guy like Caulfield, but in just a standard keeper league, you know, when you look at the setups of, you know, most keeper leagues, you're going to be keeping, you know, 3 to 5 players. And that typically is going to be guys who are going to be inside the top, you know, 50 to 70 overall. I'm not keeping Cole Caulfield just yet. I have to see more out of the player, even though he does have 12 shots on goal in 4 games so far, only converting that one goal in that span. I don't love the supporting cast that he has in that offense right now. So I need to see more from the player. He's one of those guys I would be targeting early in a draft next season. But I'm not spending a top keeper pick taking him over, you know, another top 50 or 70 asset.
In a dynasty league, I'm with you. It's a no-brainer, James, for that format. I think when you're looking at keepers, even if you start or finish the season really strong, I just want to know that the team security is there too. Like, that's why I'm a bit higher on keeping more Panthers guys right now, just because their future outlook is so crystal clear to me that they're going to be a contender for the next 5 years here. I think Montreal has a lot of questions. They could easily answer them, you know, with a great offseason, Pete. But I think right now, when you look at Caulfield alone, love him in dynasty formats, love him in a really deep keeper league. But if it's a bit shallow, if you're, you know, really high-end talent right now on your team, I think you got to pass. It's tough to pass on a player like that, but I think it's the better decision for you to maybe allocate those resources more wisely.
I would like to see Robbie do some power rankings for keeper stock. And I would probably think we would see Montreal in the bottom 10 on a list like that, right? I mean, not to rain on their parade, and they do have Caulfield, but there are so many other teams out there with better long-term outlooks than Montreal that I would expect them to be in the bottom 10 of something like that, a long-term league, gauging the number of players that can be difference makers in the years to come. I mean, that's just like one observation I just thought of, and that would lend to, you know, putting Caulfield or Suzuki or both of them back into the pool.
Yeah, and you look at the depth right now on Montreal. Philip Deneau is skating as their frontline center at the moment. Even with how good Nick Suzuki is, they're still not giving him that next shot. And Paul Caulfield is skating on the third line. You know, at this point in the season, you know, they have Anderson and Kotkaniemi on that first line with Deneau. Okay, I can understand that. But to be playing Yoel Armia over Cole Caulfield on the second line with Tyler Toffoli and Nick Suzuki is just completely head scratching right now. And I think is actually holding Caulfield back from making a bigger impact. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, power rankings and ranking these guys, you look at that team, and outside of Suzuki, outside of Caulfield and maybe Toffoli, they only have, you know, really Jeff Petrie and Shea Weber. I don't even know if Carey Price, because of all of his injury concerns, I would be, you know, considering if I had another goalie or two on my roster, I might be considering keeping one of them if they're a younger, you know, more up and coming player over Carey Price at this moment. So, you know, there's a lot of questions about the Montreal Canadiens going forward that they need to answer to clean things up.
Let's talk about this from the flip side. Guys that are a bit further along in their career, we'll look at Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby. We got a question here. Do I keep Line A, Crosby, or Ovechkin? I would automatically subtract Line A from that conversation right now and look at Ovi or Crosby. I'm going to go with Sid the Kid on this one. I just think that his point ceiling is still going to be a point per game or higher, where I think Ovi's probably looking at 70 with more goals. But how many goals is he going to go out and score? Is he going to get 50 again? It wouldn't surprise any of us, but I wouldn't bet on that right now. I'd say comfortably I'd peg him in for 35, maybe 40 next season. So I think Sid is your best bet with the Penguins. I really like what I saw from them this season. Not only did they overcome a bunch of injuries and man games lost, but I think they had a nice little nucleus there. Their core seemed to get chemistry even without a guys out of the lineup. So I think I'm going to go Sid the Kid here in a dynasty and keeper format.
I actually think that the keeper league stock of Crosby has been rejuvenated this year. You can make the argument that the line trio that Crosby's playing on this year with Jake Guentzel and Brian Rust, this might be the most well-rounded, complete trio that Sidney Crosby has ever played with in his career, right? It's always been like maybe a good guy on the right side, but then a shaky hole on the left side, or some years he rolls out there and scores a point a game playing with, you know, nobody's out there. Or sometimes it's just him and Guentzel, and then the right side is a rotating chair. So I just feel like all three of those guys are all top 50 overall assets based on performance this year, with Crosby, Guentzel, and Rust. And Guentzel in our league, Robbie, when I'm looking at it, we didn't keep Guentzel from last year, but I would put Guentzel right up there with, say, a Braden Point, even for a keeper debate. And I think that's a fair debate. I think Guentzel's category coverage is superior to Braden Point. So while we may keep Point just because it's a little bit safer, you can make the argument we should diversify our assets and not keep Point and Vasilevsky and maybe side with Guentzel, because you know he's a fixture with Crosby every single year now.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what Crosby has turned Guentzel into, you know, a lot of people didn't really think that Guentzel was ever going to be much, but, you know, he had the 40-goal, 76-point season a few years ago. Then last year in the shortened season, he only played 39 games because of injuries, but he had 43 points and 20 goals in 39 games. That put him over a 40 goal pace last season. And then this year, 22 goals and 53 points in 52 games. If you expand, you know, his last two seasons out over an 82 game span, he'd lock in somewhere between 35 and 43 goals a season skating with Sidney Crosby. So, you know, I think that, yeah, I'm going Crosby because he is still going to get a lot of shots on goal. He's going to get more well-rounded numbers than Ovechkin will. Like you said, Rob, and I don't think, you know, it should be discounted. Ovechkin probably is going to score more goals. Certainly, he's probably going to have more power play goals, more shots on goal. But I think the overall aspect of everything, Crosby is just going to outperform him, you know, points, assists, you know, and that's going to make up for the differential in goals and shots.
Now, it is possible that the Stanley Cup playoffs could influence some of these decisions. So, you know, if you can wait that long, certainly let things play out. I know right now a big situation with the Caps is Evgeny Kuznetsov has not been the player that we got to know the past few seasons. He's got 29 points in 41 games and simply not cutting it in fantasy. So, you know, when you look at that situation, obviously Ovi likes to play alongside him. If he explodes in the postseason and scores a point per game or more, you know, maybe you circle back to that conversation, especially if Pittsburgh flames out early and Crosby doesn't do much. I don't see that happening though. So, you know, just be something to be, you know, keep an eye on. It is the postseason. You do have, you know, guys emerge that look great in the postseason. It automatically elevates their fantasy stock. You know, we see it every single season. So, you know, be a little bit patient. But if, you know, right now I had to make that decision, it's an easy answer for me. It's Sidney Crosby all the way.
I would say the only way is maybe if you're in a hits league, you could say that the floor and security of Ovechkin is a little bit safer. But again, the Penguins just do it every single year. So next year, unless something drastic happens, I mean, pencil the Penguins in as a playoff team next year for me. I'm not going to go the route that I did the past 2 years because it hasn't been pretty at the end. But anyway, speaking of hits, I think that maybe arguably the single most coveted player in a keeper league that counts hits is Brady Tkachuk. I'm really like looking at next year and saying Brady Tkachuk will probably be in the top 10 or top 15 of our overall rankings. And we will do overall rankings this week, looking ahead to next season. So we're going to start to spin it forward a little early. And especially with some of the young assets on his line, right? Like that line down the stretch of the season with Josh Norris and Drake Batherson, we've sprinkled in some conversation about those guys, but not too much. And I think they're going to be major players for Ottawa. Ottawa next year could take the step forward to being a fringe playoff team if Matt Murray is healthy and stuff like that. But even in the worst case scenario, Brady Tkachuk last year was a top 25 overall player in fantasy. And this year I'm looking now with a week to go, he's 11th overall. So, right, he's got to be considered as a top 15 overall player for keeper leagues and drafts next season.
Yeah, I love what Ottawa is doing. They're you know, building it young. They're getting a good core of players. You know, I as everybody knows, and this reference will make sense. I come from a golf background, and you know, the old school way of teaching kids how to play golf was control. And the new school way of teaching kids how to play golf is swing as hard as you absolutely can, make mistakes, and we can teach control later. And I think you're starting to see that aspect of things come into the NHL right now. You're seeing it with a team like Ottawa. You're seeing it with a team like the New Jersey Devils. They're sending these young kids out there, starting them in top line situations, playing big minutes, letting them develop, letting them make mistakes. And they're saying, go out there, play speed, learn, and then we'll teach control as we go. And I think that you know, you're going to see the fruits of that start to bear itself in the next couple of years. Josh Norris is a really good developing player. Batherson has been on my waiver wire list a couple of times this season. Stützle is going to be an absolute stud once they get a more complete center for him to play with on that second line. But yeah, when you look at Tkachuk right now, he is absolutely tearing it up. Like you said, I mean, find me, you know, another player who's got that rare combination of, you know, scoring ability with shots on goal and hits. I mean, 201 shots on goal, 222 hits this season, and he's going to be a 40-point player in a 56-game season. So, you know, there's a lot to love about a player who can put up numbers like that in a league that counts hits and shots on goal. And, you know, he even does have 63 pims. So, you know, in leagues that count pims, he's kind of the complete package.
Yeah, and especially with a team like Ottawa, I think you said it perfectly. They have a really good core foundation going on there. They have a lot of promise. Even their goalies now, their depth goalies are looking like guys that can come in and win some games in the National Hockey League. So I like their situation a lot. for Brady Tkachuk, it's simply an easy decision. You keep the player no matter what. You need the category coverage. I would even include Matthew in that conversation as well. I know the Calgary Flames have slightly less more appeal. You know, I think they'll be okay next year, though, so I would keep Matthew too if you have the player. And then beyond that, I think that's circling back here. The problem almost with the Habs, gentlemen, is that they don't have that kind of exciting feel to the club like the Ottawa Senators do. There's a lot of young guys, Josh Norris, Stützle, as you mentioned, all those guys, and Drake Batherson, I can get really excited about. I'm just not really feeling the same way about Montreal. I like the team. I like the city, obviously, but I think Ottawa right now is a really good situation to be involved in if you're in a dynasty format, if you're in a keeper format.
I was just going to circle back to like the hits conversation real quick, because I know Rob called me out about Sam Bennett last week. And I will say this, you know, I wouldn't keep Sam Bennett, and I'm still, you know, defending that position, just because, you know, I look at a player like Tkachuk, and I look at a player like Sam Bennett, and they cover very, very similar categories. But I need to see more out of Sam Bennett before, you know, just a 12 or 15 game run in Florida playing with Jonathan Huberdeau and Anthony Duclair and have everything click, versus a guy like Brady Tkachuk, who now over multiple seasons has kept this kind of production consistent. So, you know, when I said that last week, it's not a knock on Sam Bennett. He should be, you know, like a top probably 70, 75 overall asset in leagues that count hits. But there are definitely players who I would be keeping ahead of him, even in leagues like that.
I just have to say his stat line, the past 13 games he's played, he's got 18 points. He's got 40 shots on goal over that span. He's had games with 6 hits 3 different times over that span. And I think you made the argument for me saying he's really had chemistry alongside Huberdeau. I love the situation for him, James. And I know I am. You're right. It's a bit early to get that high on a player, but everything I've seen from Florida, I've loved this season. I mean, they've taken so much, you know, of a leap forward. Coach Q has them all playing to the best of their abilities, and the chemistry has solidified it for me, Pete. I will roll the dice. Now, I'm not in a league, unfortunately, where I've got Sam Bennett in a keeper setting, but hopefully I can find one this, you know, this offseason where I can draft Sam Bennett in a keeper league and then keep it going, James.
Well, so let me just ask you this question, because I am in a keeper league, and I am in a league where I have Sam Bennett on my roster, and we can keep 10 players in this league on a yearly basis. And right now, my keepers in that league are Matt Barzell, Artemi Panarin, Quinn Hughes, Cal Makar, Nick Ehlers, Nikita Kucherov, Elias Pettersson, Andrei Vasilevsky, and Ilya Sorokin. Who am I not keeping out of that group to keep Sam Bennett?
Yes.
Well, not everyone's as good as drafting as you are, James.
But, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, unless you're telling me that Sam Bennett, even in hits leagues, is going to be, you know, like a top, you know, 75 or 60 asset, because I think even in leagues that counts hits, every single one of those guys is going to be in our top 70 next season, you know, and in leagues that don't keep as many, you know, more shallow keeper leagues that only keep 3 or 5 players, I'm not ready to gamble on the upside of a player like Bennett. I'd target him a lot earlier in leagues like that, but I'm not ready to gamble a keeper pick on Bennett over somebody who's more established.
One thing that I would encourage everybody to do out there, you know, hopefully you've had fun playing fantasy this year and you're going to do even more leagues next year, but make a little post-it note, throw it in your drawer, keep it on your desk, and write a couple of players' names and put Sam Bennett on there, because I personally hope that Sam Bennett does not go in the top 75 overall. I hope that he doesn't go in the top 100 overall, because then you could target him outside the top 100. You could say this guy's got great chemistry with Huberdeau. Most people, most casual fans, you know, don't have him, you know, near the top of their list, and maybe forgot about him because it was a late season trend. So this is a guy that's going to go back to the well in most leagues, I would say, unless it's an extremely deep, like a dynasty, in which case you would keep him. The one league I have him in, and he's tri-eligible. He might not start next season as being tri-eligible, which is why he might still fall back down, you know, on everybody's pecking order. But I mean, I'm not going to be keeping him in that league, because you only keep like 4 players in that league. But Sam Bennett is a guy that I will certainly be targeting with confidence anytime outside the top 100 overall next season. and maybe in all of my leagues, you know, because he's got 13 points in 9 games with the Panthers, only 2 on the power play, but every other category has been a home run so far.
And it looks like Spencer Knight is going to start. Just some game notes here before we wrap up. Spencer Knight will get the start versus Dallas. Sam Bennett, the player we were just gloating about, is day-to-day now. So keep an eye on that heading down the stretch here. Obviously, you know, make the adjustments you have to make.
I'm taking Dallas tonight, plus money, season on the line, desperate. I like Dallas against Florida, plus money. It's a 15-game slate. There's plenty of opportunities. I zero in on the Dallas Stars and say that the defending Western Conference champions find a way to win the game tonight against the Panthers.
I like that pick, Bob. You know, I think that when you look at all of these teams that are just absolutely desperate right now, getting this, you know, late in the season, I could see Dallas, you know, really coming out. The interesting thing is going to be that Montreal-Toronto matchup. I'm not touching that matchup. But I'm interested to see, you know, Montreal at plus 135. If they could really, really come out. But there are just a lot of big lines on the board for the games tonight. I don't know if there's really anything that I love. The only one I think I would have confidence in might be Los Angeles at plus 120 against Arizona. Not a sledgehammer, though Rob and I did hit on the sledgehammer last Monday on the Canadians. I don't 100% really love any of the lines out there tonight, but if there was one I was going to throw something on, it probably would be LA at plus 120 over Arizona.
Okay. What about the Washington Capitals? I think the Rangers are out of steam. I think they're done. I think the Islanders took their heart. They ripped it out of their chest. And I'll take I like the price on the Capitals. It's around even money. Why not? So that's another game I would look at and maybe target tonight. Capitals on the road against the Rangers. But I like the Stars a lot more than I like the Capitals. I'll just make that clear.
Robbie, who do you think will start game one of the playoffs for the Washington Capitals? I know they just had a rough season series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Hopefully for their sake, they're not going to get matched up against them in the first round. Those top four teams are all still, you know, fluctuating. We don't know who's going to be playing who, but regardless of opponent, who would you start in game one of the playoffs between Vanecek and Samsonov?
I think it's going to be like 2017-18 where they went Grubauer the first two games and then he didn't play well. And then the next guy, yeah, who happened to be Braden Holtby, came in and played great. So I think you're going to see something where Laviolette will give each player the opportunity to get a game in the postseason, and whoever wins, they'll just ride him out. I think Vanecek's a tremendous young player, Pete, but I think Ilya Samsonov has the high ceiling for that team. He just doesn't have reps. He doesn't have the game volume. Laviolette's going to have to throw him out here a couple more times to end the season. And James, I know you didn't keep him in a keeper league. You look pretty good right now. We'll have to see and track that decision, how it plays out long term.
I traded him for Quinn Hughes, so I'm it's pretty happy. I traded him for Quinn Hughes and I traded Shesterkin for Cale Makar, so I'm pretty happy with both of those deals.
Wow. Right now. Not bad.
James, what are you playing the Davey Satriano leagues with the preschoolers? Who's making that deal? Gee whiz.
I mean,
be nice.
You know, there were other players. I sold high in the Makar deal on Kuznetsov, and I sold high on the Hughes deal on Tyler Toffoli. So you know, I did give up a lot of guys that I had this season, but I sold high on them before they really cooled off. So you know, I got lucky there. But yeah, when you look, the goaltender market is just so fickle right now, and if you have the opportunity to get, you know, one or two of these top, you know, 10 or 15 goaltenders, and you have the ability to keep two of them, absolutely going forward, you have to keep, you know, two of those players, because the goaltending is just so thin at the top that if you get one of these, you know, top line guys or somebody who you could think turns into a top line guy, like a Shesterkin or a Samsonov, Sorokin, Vasilevsky, any of those guys, you know, it's going to be interesting to see a guy like Jeremy Swayman, what happens next season in Boston, if Rask doesn't return or if Halak doesn't return. you know, the goaltending market, I think, is really going to take an upheaval this summer, especially with the expansion draft as well. So it's going to be a very, very interesting summer to watch the goaltender market.
And Robbie, we actually did a little, everybody should check out nhl.com/fantasy. We did our fantasy awards. And then at the end, we also threw in some sleeper picks. Yours was Josh Norris because of the Tkachuk exposure, and mine was Jeremy Swayman. So that's one guy that I might, if you're in one of those expanded leagues like James is, where you can keep like 10 players, and maybe if you don't have as good of a roster as James does, you know, play ahead, stay ahead of the curve, look at guys like Swayman, look at guys like Spencer Knight, who may be the third guy on the order right now, technically, but could be first as early as the start of next season, depending on how free agency and stuff like that plays out.
Definitely, Petey. And if you have more questions, you know, keeper league, betting, DFS, anything, you know, here for the rest of the season, make sure to hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at WaiverWireJames. Another excellent appearance for him. And we're one review shy of 300 on Apple Podcasts, guys. So if you've been listening to the program, we've helped you out this year, please throw us a nice 5-star review there. We'll get it up to a nice even 300.
For sure. James, thanks for joining us, man. And thanks for coming on all season. I'm sure we'll get you on in the playoffs. Of course, won't be doing as much waiver wire talk, but you know hockey as well as anybody. So we're going to be breaking it down with you, I'm sure, on a weekly or, you know, once every 2-week basis this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's been, it's always great to come on with you guys. Can't thank you enough for the opportunities. And yeah, it's always just fun. Always great coming on, talking everything with you guys. So I hope to do it again soon. And you know, hope everybody in their playoff pools does a great job. And obviously always a shout out to producer Bob for doing the great job that he does.
Oh, James, thank you very much, James. Appreciate it. You are the best, man. Every single Monday you show up with the goods, and we appreciate it. I appreciate it. You make it easy, and it's free flowing, and the sledgehammers will continue in the playoffs. So I know you're going to have
I'm going to have some sledgehammers in the playoffs, James.
So thanks again. And this will not be the last time we speak, because you have sledgehammers up your sleeve, and we'll get you on during the playoffs for sure. Thanks again, James.
Sounds like a plan, guys.
Sounds good. So we'll touch base with everybody as everything unfolds with the playoff matchups. Maybe we'll hit you up again before then, but most likely our next shows are going to be playoff pools with Davey Satriano whenever we know the playoff matchups, and sports betting, hockey, gambling preview with Michael Leboff from the Action Network. So looking forward to both of those shows. Bobby, you got something?
I just want to say, Nick Alberga, I know you listen to every single second of every single episode. We're going to get Nick Alberga on at some point, too, prior to the playoffs, to talk about all the playoff storylines. When the playoff field is locked and loaded, you'll hear from all the regular voices, Alberga, yep. Satriano, you already mentioned, Leboff with some of his playoff picks. And by the way, I wrote off Leboff's Soros pick for Vezina. It's not completely written off right now. It's a $25 to win like $1,700. That if that somehow comes through, Soros rips off a bunch of shutouts here to close the season and propel Nashville into the playoffs. Wow, that would be some pick from Leboff. All right, wrap it up, Pete.
I like it. So we'll talk to everybody again later this week or the beginning of next week, depending on when the schedule and the matchups drop. Looking forward to the playoffs. Thanks for following along all season. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Hit us up with your last minute questions at NHL Fantasy, and we'll talk to you again real soon.